Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Ah, so good! Friday! Woo-hoo-hoo.
Saw on the text line people trying to suggest a different opening song. I'm just going to tell you guys right now, no. This is the way we open Friday. It's the way we've always opened
Friday. Should we do like a quick,
informal poll?
How about new?
No. We can do a poll and then we just do what we want to do.
I know we could, but right. Would you be interested?
No?
All right, then turn it up.
You come and go. You come and go. Come,
yeah, you're right. Here it is. Waiting for us. 5:56 this morning.
Is it just me? Is it just me Friday, by the way? You should seriously consider... You should seriously consider using Kool and the Gang's Celebration for your Friday open up song. Just try it for 1 week and see what the response would be from texters.
How about new?
We can take a poll. Yeah, if you got a different song, we'll take your suggestions. We won't listen to one of them, but we'll take your suggestions. And would people be mad if we changed?
Yes.
The Friday open song.
It's the way Fridays open. It's just the way it goes. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you say that on air? I can't tell if you talk on air or not.
No?
Say it on air. Millennial Ben. Go ahead.
I missed it one time, and there were people texting in asking for me to be fired. So we're not changing it.
Okay.
Ever.
See? Listen, if we just learned something in the last 5 minutes here, you don't want to rile Millennial Ben up.
No, yeah. Telling you what, guys.
Now that's trying.
I am not peeking in his freezer. I promise you that right now.
Wow.
It makes me a little nervous.
All right.
You're not correct at all.
It's a Friday morning. Is it just me Friday? We take it a little loose on Fridays, which is good. We want you to get a little loose with us. Mark's all happy because he got to play with his snowblower yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I even brought it up front. Got some of the neighbors' stuff done. They just wait. They hide in their house when it snows, wait for me to get home from work.
And you get some, like, you'll get, like, gift cards or coffee, you know, Starbucks coffee cards or something like that.
Awesome.
But you know, but you don't do it for that.
No.
You do it because you...
I like it.
You like it.
I like shoveling. I like firing up the snowblower. It was a blast.
All right.
Had a great time yesterday. As a matter of fact, I was a little disappointed because I thought we were supposed to get snow several days in a row. I mean, that was a pretty good snow, pretty big snow. But I thought we were supposed to get some snow this weekend, too. Now it doesn't look like we're getting any snow. We just had one big snow, and that's it. A little bit depressing.
You wanted more snow.
Yes.
Well, don't worry. I think you'll get your wish at some point. So on this, is it just me? Is it just me? Or boy, did we see all the reasons why so many of us hate advanced analytics? The end of the Nuggets game last night.
Oh my gosh.
So the Nuggets are down two. They get the ball on a rebound and take off quickly down the court. They have a 4-on-1 and the court is unbalanced to the point where Jamal Murray has the ball. A couple of wizards come out on him. Washington wizards, not like real wizards, like, you know, Gandalf or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
Merlin.
Now Merlin's a magician.
Good point.
Not a wizard.
My bad.
Merlin, henceforth the name, Merlin the Magician.
My bad.
Yeah, that's all right.
So as that's happening, three Nuggets sprint to the right side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
The right side of the court is wide open. Wide open. And the guy that is leading the charge is 6'11", Michael Porter Jr. The court is wide open. One easy pass and you have a layup, dunk, that ties the game. On to overtime we go. Instead, all three Nuggets, this drives me crazy, fan out beyond the three-point line. You see it all the time now. You never see a three-on, a two-on-one, three-on-two fast break anymore where guys fill the lane, easy layup. Nope, everybody fans out beyond the three-point line. Why? Because analytics tell you that even though a three-point shot is harder to make than a layup, the fact that it's a three-point shot, the analytics say you take the three because in that situation, three is better than two. Go for the win instead of the tie. But in this one instance, you got a chance for an easy layup to tie the game, force it into overtime, and then try to go win it there. That is the higher percentage shot at that moment, but these guys either A, lack the basketball IQ to understand the moment, or B, just are poorly coached on how to handle those moments. Because it was, and as Zach Bye likes to say, two things can be true at the same time.
Or that's what they're being coached to do.
Or that's being coached what to do.
Yeah. Following the analytics. Well, I tell you what, they were burning rubber trying to stop at the three-point line, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of squeaky tennis shoes.
Right.
Make sure my toes don't slide above the three-point line.
They literally just sprinted to their spots.
Yeah.
And waited.
Waited.
And then
knocked down a three. But how much of that is, but by the way, how much of that is NBA basketball? How much of that is, well, we don't want to play another 5 minutes, another overtime?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's just the way that they're conditioned to play.
You don't think that, you don't think they look at it like, hey man, it's a long season. We've got, you know, we got a lot of games in front of us.
Nope.
We don't really mind dropping one here.
Nope. I think it was just, this is what you're conditioned to do.
It's what you're coached to do.
In many cases, yes, but I get during the course of a regular game that maybe that's the right play, analytically speaking, but you're down two, the seconds are ticking down, and you got a chance to get an easy layup or dunk to tie the game.
This is why, this is exactly
why. By the way,
it was
Campazzo that took the game winner instead of, I guess, instead of Porter.
Gunup Campazzo. What a wonderful phrase.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is exactly when we had George Karl on yesterday. This is exactly what he was talking about. You need one pro in your locker room. One guy that basically kicks people in the butt and has great basketball just knowledge. Great basketball understanding. Great basketball savvy. I don't know. It's just interesting. Like that is why right there, coaches love veteran players that really understand the game. And by the way, you think about like the way we grew up. And again, this is not a back in the day angry man shouting at clouds, but we grew up watching the game, understanding the game. This generation of players that are playing right now grew up playing Madden. That's what they know. And listen, I'm not faulting them. I'm just stating the way it is. And they don't have a great understanding. I think they have a less of an understanding of situations and situational football or situational basketball than, you know, the generation before them.
Quick text reaction to our Friday open song. Don't even think about changing our Friday song. Do not change that song. That's David Monument. Go back to bed, 8 a.m.er. This is the jam for Friday. Jasco getting us started off right. Chris in Johnstown, that's a no from me on changing the Friday song. The one thing I will never disagree with you guys on is Karma Chameleon on Fridays. There are two chances of changing the Friday intro, slim and none. And this one, keep the song, Millennial Blake approves. That's multi-generational support for you.
All right.
And then this one. I was one of those people that wanted Ben to be fired. All right. Is it just me? Friday rolls on. We heat it up. And is it just me? Or maybe after what you're about to hear, Broncos country should be nicer to Drew Lock? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, let's be honest. I would say at this point right now, Broncos country has a pretty, by and large, low opinion, confidence level when it comes to Drew Lock. If anything, when it comes to potential trades, the idea of giving up Lock is sort of like, well, yeah, throw him in, whatever. Right. I mean, that's fine, right? Well, could it be that the rest of the NFL has a much stronger opinion of Drew Lock than Broncos country? Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, NFL.com, was on the Pat McAfee show and had this to say about the Broncos and Drew Lock.
Teams, you know, as all the calls have happened, Goff and Stafford, like, teams have called about Drew Lock because the potential is there. The Broncos haven't come close to trading him, and I honestly doubt that they will. Because here's the problem. Let's say the Broncos trade Drew Lock, and then what he did the last, like, four games of the season, let's say that's what he does for 16 games. Well, then it's like, why did you trade that guy? I mean, look, if Deshaun Watson becomes actually available, if Russell Wilson becomes available, I would imagine the Broncos would be interested because they're always going to be interested. Otherwise, like, I think it's going to be Drew Lock and then maybe a draft zone, maybe bring in a good backup. But, you know, Drew Lock has the potential, and it's scary to trade a guy before you see whether he's going to do it or not.
Obviously, an opinion we don't hear much voiced around here.
I'd be interested to know who called. Potential is a four-letter word. Potential gets you fired. I can't tell you how many staffs have been fired on potential. The Jets are dealing with potential right now, and Sam Darnold trying to make a decision on, you know, on whether or not to keep him. So Paxton, the potential of Paxton Lynch, crying out loud.
Doesn't count.
No, tons of potential though. So you've got to always be worried about that word. Now, here's the thing that would be interesting to me, Mike. How many of these teams that have reached out already have a starter that are looking at it going, wow, you know, if we added him to the mix and he had a couple of, seasons to really, you know, to really be into it as a backup, to really understand, you know, could we create this Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre type of scenario? Or we have a starter that we like, i.e. Kirk Cousins, that we like, that can get us to the playoffs, that plays pretty good football, but we think he's got a ceiling as, hey, he'll get us to the playoffs, but he's not getting us to the promised land. And a couple of years of tutelage, of understanding, of knowing what this offense is, maybe Drew Lock could be the next guy.
Okay. Okay. You've got me a little intrigued by that. I'm trying to think of teams that would fall under that category. Let me just spitball one right off the top of my head here. I mean, could like a Pittsburgh be an example of that?
Sure.
Is what you're saying? A team that has, hey, we know Ben's going to be back for another year, but we have to be cognizant of developing young quarterbacks behind him, and this would be a good example.
Right. And by the way, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, you know what Ben Roethlisberger's record is when the Pittsburgh Steelers rush for over 100 yards?
Oh, I would assume it's very good.
I think it's 106-20-1.
Okay.
When they don't, he's under 500. I mean, there is a correlation between running the football, controlling the line of scrimmage, opening up your one-on-ones in your play action, your run action stuff. Like, it matters. You know, for all the people that don't think physicality matters and running the ball matters, look at the Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Oh, no, we don't. That's not how we play. Well, you're going to get your ass kicked when you play against good teams that understand that physical battles win. But, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh would be a wonderful example. Could you go in there and I think they need to dial back to, you know, dial back to what got them to Super Bowl championships instead of this spread we're going to throw it every time. And Ben Roethlisberger isn't interested in getting hit anymore. You need to change your offense and get back to more Pittsburgh Steelers style football, if you will. But could you grow under Ben Roethlisberger for a year, maybe two? Like that would be a pretty advantageous situation for a young player to be tutored by a guy like that.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Hey, we like his potential.
Sure.
He's shown some flashes. We had a decent grade on him when he was coming out of Mizzou. And that's where these calls are coming from. I can't imagine that anybody's calling with the idea that, hey, we want to trade for this guy because he's going to be our we see something really special and he's going to be our starting quarterback.
Correct. I don't think it's that at all. But of course you'd love to. One, I've got a backup quarterback with a really high ceiling because he's very athletic and he's costing me $1 million in a year where my salary cap has gone. Has plummeted. Of course that is a very desirable asset to have on your roster. And especially when we've seen how many teams have just pigeonholed themselves or destroyed themselves when all of a sudden their guy gets hurt and they've got to go with some, you know, they've got to go with whoever. I mean, that's we've seen it. We've seen it in this pandemic year. All of a sudden the Broncos have to play a game without any quarterbacks and what everybody do. They started grabbing off of practice squads. Blake Bortles goes back to the Rams or wherever he went. You know, you start getting nervous. You need that emergency guy. So, I don't know how you could ever leave yourself in a position where you've got a starter and your backup has no experience and it just seems stupid to me.
One more Bronco nugget coming from Ian Rappaport again on the Pat McAfee show, asked if he believes Von Miller will be a Bronco next year.
If he's free, he's going to have a very good market. I will say at this point, I doubt that he's free because they got the team option coming up. I don't think they're going to pick up the option because I think there's a good chance. I think there's a real chance the two sides get together and make it make sense. He wants to finish his career in Denver. He's awesome. Missed last year with an injury. They have cap space. It's hard to get better by letting one of your best players walk. So I would imagine there'll be some sort of compromise to smooth out his cap hit and make it make sense.
Okay, thoughts on that? You think Vaughn wants to finish here? You think it's important for him to finish here?
I don't know.
I think that there was a time in his career where it was important for him to finish here. And I think as you age and as you start to understand that, you know, it's not about brand building, it's about championships. I mean, Von Miller is Von Miller. He's, you know, I mean, the guy is a Super Bowl MVP. He's one of the great ones. What's better? What is better for your legacy in the long run? If you're legacy building right now, what's better for your legacy in the long run? Starting and finishing in one place with one world championship or leaving because they want to renegotiate your contract? And finding yourself a place where you can play for a championship. What's better for your legacy?
It certainly didn't hurt Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski's legacy that they went out and won a Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, I just think
it looked like they had a blast in doing it.
Right. You're going into the Ring of Fame. You're going into the Hall of Fame. Whether you stay here for the next 3 years or whether you go somewhere else. But I think your chances of competing for a world championship somewhere else are a lot higher. So to me, from a legacy building standpoint, if that's all we're looking at, you're better off picking the team that you want to go play for and making that happen. If the money is fairly equal, if they're going to ask you to take a pay cut anyhow, wouldn't you rather take a pay cut that you're going to a team that automatically looks like a Super Bowl contender?
Cecil Lammy joins us coming up in 20 minutes. Got the Morning Brew coming up. So who you want? Who you like? Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? Hey, man, dream big. It's a wild off season. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Capping up with Jamal Murray, 112-110. Nuggets trail, right wing outside the arc. Composo for three, off the rim. Buzzer sounds. Wizards win. Wizards win. Composo had a look from three, but the Wizards have a victory.
Wizards radio. Yeah, a little bit of context to that three-pointer that was attempted to try to win the game for the Nuggets last night. So they had a wide-open four-on-two situation where Jamal Murray had the ball on the left side of the court, couple Wizards players on him, three Nuggets wide open on the right side, and they all fanned out beyond the three-point line. Not one guy, including 6'11" Michael Porter Jr., drove to the basket for what would have been an easy layup, dunk, tie the game, onto overtime, let's win it at home. Instead, they do what we see so often now, analytics in basketball. Higher percentage, take the three. Better to take threes, make threes, than take twos. They took the three, they missed it, they lose the basketball game. Right call? Right play? I mean, they would have had an easy layup to tie the game. Instead, they went for the win.
Well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. I mean, there was, how many seconds when Composo took the shot?
Like a couple seconds left.
3 seconds?
Yeah.
Enough to get to the 10,
oh,
right?
Oh, easily. Oh, no. That wasn't an issue. All right.
It's easy to second guess. I'm with you. I think you drive to the basket. You try to stuff one in, send it to overtime, maybe get fouled. You know, the other team, you have to think the other team is understanding, hey, we can't foul him and send him to the free throw line, especially if he makes the two, right? Because then you win it on the free throw line. I get it. I don't like analytics. That's what I'm telling
but you.
You
know
I've never had.
There is a place for them. Like, for example, we just came off a season where we've never seen more fourth downs attempted. Because analytics tell you, and I think it does make sense that, you know, it's fourth and one, fourth and two. Go for it. The odds are that you're going to convert it, keep a drive alive, and keep going. So there's part of analytics that I get, but you have to be able to find that balance between what the numbers say and what common sense says. That was a common sense basketball IQ play that they failed.
That part I will agree with you. I don't always agree with but the analytics say something, but it's not always, it's not apples to apples stuff. Oftentimes it's apples to oranges stuff, but the analytics say do it and coaches do it. And I just, that part bothers me.
You know, and by the way, you really want to blame something, you blame the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, because they made it look so effortless. And for them, taking threes instead of twos, taking three-pointers from the corner instead of layups, does make more sense. But that's Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Not Composo and MPJ. All right, next on the Morning Brew.
Look, the scouting report's out on Jiriah. You know, people are switching his ball screens, but he was able to, he's just a crafty player, and he gets himself going. And, you know, Jiriah's got the ability to make tough shots. He's made some tough ones. And my biggest thing with him is I just want you to take wide open threes.
There is Tad Boyle after his bust with a very impressive 80-62 win over 19th ranked USC. Jiriah Horn had 24 points for the Buffs, which should calm whatever maybe rattled nerves folks were starting to feel up there in Boulder about whether or not we're going to see another late season fizzle from the Buffs. That's a good win. That's a really good win.
Over USC, good win. Yeah, I mean, they're making a tournament, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to make the tournament, so then it just
becomes about seeding.
Well, seeding, but it really becomes about winning that first game of the tournament. Really, just moving on. Like, having some success in the tournament. Isn't that what it really becomes? Gotta have some success. Gotta win a couple games. Can you win two? Can you win two?
They're due a Sweet 16 run, aren't they?
You would think.
McKinley Wright, 15 points, 14 assists. Guy's a stud. Next on the Morning Brew.
you. You're cool.
you, I'm out.
Deshaun Watson met with new Texans coach David Culley. And no surprise, he was not apparently blown away by his meeting with the new coach. Still wants out. And by the way, the Texans reportedly have been getting phone messages. People have been leaving messages inquiring about Deshaun Watson. We were able to hack into the Houston Texans phone mail system. And we're going to play some of those calls for you a little bit later on around 7 o'clock.
Yeah, apparently Nick Caserio is their GM. He's not returning the calls.
No. So they're leaving messages.
Right. People just leaving messages.
Still think he gets dealt before the draft?
I don't think he gets dealt before the draft.
I don't either.
I don't think he does.
I think they'll prepare to play out the year.
Nick Caserio, the new Jeff Breidich of general managers.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
right.
Return phone calls.
Doesn't return phone calls. Oh my God.
He's smart for that. Yeah. I said, hey, I set the tone. I don't need you
right.
offering me things. I'll tell you what the offer is.
I'll tell you what the offer is, and I'll tell you how much money I'll pay you to make the deal.
You can't do that right when I'm sipping a cup of coffee.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, the reality of professional sports is, you know, if things happen, things change. I'm not sure how long I'll play in Seattle. I think hopefully it was going to be, you know, be forever, you know, but things change obviously along the way.
So Russell Wilson apparently has not demanded a trade. Doesn't expect the Seahawks to trade him. And yet his agent has released a list of four teams that he'd be interested in going to.
Yes. Mr. Unlimited.
The Cowboys, the Saints, the Chicago Bears, and the Raiders. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no, I can't. No. No. No.
I mean,
if for some reason Russell Wilson ends up in Las Vegas, that certainly changes the whole dynamic, doesn't it? When it comes to going all in for Deshaun Watson versus your roster building.
Right. Watson. Can you imagine Mahomes, Russell Wilson,
Deshaun Herbert. Watson and Herbert all in the same division?
Oh, my gosh. Like, the winner of the division goes 9-7 and is the favorite to win the right. the Super Bowl, right?
Right, right. Hey, they only went 9-7, but, man, their NFL RPI is outstanding.
Yeah.
Their strength of schedule is awesome. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Cecil Lammy's going to tell us whether or not Caleb Farley is indeed Bronco material. His is a name that continues to pop up this week. Caleb Farley. We'll find out about him next. Love our Friday visits with the one and only Cecil Lammy, who joins us now. You can hear him at night with Nick Ferguson. Cecil, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great. Listen, real quick, we've been paying attention to mock drafts. You know, it's always kind of fun to see the pool right. of players that could be available for when the Broncos pick. And one name that continues to gain some traction with the Broncos is Virginia corner Caleb Farley. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Va Tech. And what about him is that he's physical. He's got length at 6'2", 197. He's got a nose for the ball, and he loves to attack. So if you look at what type of defense Vic Fangio wants to run, right? Very aggressive. Your corners are tied to your pass rush. Caleb Farley is a player that can fit what the Denver Broncos want to do because of his instincts, because of his playmaking ability, the fact that the guy does not shy away from any sort of challenge. He can step in and be a number one corner from day one in the NFL. There's a couple of guys that could do that. Patrick Surtain is the other one, and then Caleb Farley from Va Tech. Those two are seen as around top 12 picks. By the time the Broncos pick at number 9, they may be picking the first defensive player off the board, just based on how this draft with the wide receivers up top, with those quarterbacks jam-packed up top, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, packed there up top. By the time 9 rolls around, it might be a defender, it might be the first defender, and it might be Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech.
Is there a quarterback in this draft class? Obviously, you know, everybody thinks that, that Lawrence is going number one overall. And yeah. I think for, you know, I think that's just going to be a given. But is there a quarterback in this draft class, not named Lawrence, that's worth going up, that's worth the Broncos moving from number nine overall to wherever you have to get him?
Yeah, Zach Wilson is a special kid. Now, some people are floating out Pat Mahomes comparisons, and I absolutely hate that. But when you watch Wilson play at BYU, and you know, you worry about level of competition, you see a guy that's absolutely just a gunslinger in all the greatest ways. He's got the athleticism to be very dangerous with his legs. His pass placement is uncanny. That's the way that I've described it. Like, he could just sit there and sling it. All sorts of arm angles. You know, this is where the Mahomes comparisons come in, because he can sidearm things. He can rip it. He's got very good mechanics. He doesn't get too toesy, as a quarterback when he's dropping back, when he's going through his footwork. It's very good mechanically, very sound. I think under pressure is where some of his flaws come into play. He also gets a little too cute with the football sometimes, maybe trying to force passes instead of, you know, going in a different direction or even just taking off to run, because he can run the ball and be very dangerous there. But if I were to peg one guy that you could move up, some people might say Trey Lance, but, you know, I'm not going to say that. Justin Fields, some people might say, nah, Wilson is that other guy. And there are teams out there that have Wilson above Lawrence. But none of those teams are the Jacksonville Jaguars, so it's going to be Lawrence at number one.
Toesy? Have we found our new scouting term for 2021? Toesy?
Toesy, yeah. You can get too toesy, and you can get too heel-clicky. So when you're dropping back, you don't want those heels to get too close together. You want to maintain proper distance with your feet. And then too toesy, you don't want to be standing up there on the balls of your feet, right, when you go to throw. And maybe, Drew Brees can get away with it, but Drew Brees is also 5'10". You know what I mean? Most quarterbacks, you want them to be rather flat-footed when they go to throw the ball.
So you're saying there's no place like a safe pocket.
There is no place like a safe pocket. Very true.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful deal. Hey, one of the latest mock drafts that we've seen from Mel Kiper has Pitts, the tight end from Florida, mm-hmm. going very high. And yeah. I've heard a lot of chatter about Pitts being like walking in a league right now and being maybe the third best tight end in football. What do you think about Pitts, and could he be a top five pick?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you look at a former quarterback, right? And I always love those type of players, because you understand where the holes in the defense are. You understand the little things about being a receiver stink, and you know this from breaking down film. Those guys that square their shoulders up to the line of scrimmage, right, when they come back to the ball. These are small little things that you look for when you're watching players, and very few college players have these type of attributes, right? They have to be taught, basically, how to do that. Well, Pitts, because he is a former quarterback, he already knows those things, because he wants to be a quarterback's favorite target, because that's what he was, you know, and he understands squaring your, you know, presenting yourself as the biggest target to your quarterback, coming back to the ball, athletically incredibly gifted, you know, basically a supersized wide receiver. And if you want to compare him to Darren Waller from day one, it's pretty high comparison. Waller's become arguably the best tight end of the game. A lot of people would say Travis Kelce or George Kittle, but let's throw Waller in the conversation. Pitts is that guy. So when you look at special tight ends this year, Pitts would be one top 10 pick, most likely. I really like Brevin Jordan from Miami. I'll throw him in quickly just because I was watching him yesterday as a player that, you know, has those similar traits, similar skill set as, you know, basically now all these tight ends. Most of them, unless they're the Ys, you know, the guys that can block and run some routes, guys like Pitts, guys like Brevin Jordan, they're the classic F tight end, as John Elway liked to say. You know, that's an F. That's a guy that's a big-bodied wide receiver. And expect guys like Pitts, guys like Brevin Jordan, Kenny Yeboah from Ole Miss, so I'm at the Senior Bowl. Those are some really nice F tight ends coming into the league this year.
Talk about Cecil Lammy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. normal years, you'd be at the combine right now, right?
I'd have my apartment in Indianapolis. Oh, I'd have that combine hangover. Yeah, I learned that as the boss move, right? Because everyone's like, oh, you're staying at the team hotel and all that. Like, nah, I found out a few years ago, like, man, I like getting my own apartment for the week in Indy. So, yeah, I'm missing Indy. I'm missing the stories. I'm missing the last good batch of information. I think the season of lies has started a little bit early this year, because there is no combine, but the combine was always the last time on the All-Star road trip, because if I heard at the Shrine, and then I heard it at the Senior, and then I heard at the combine from different varying people, then I knew it was good information. And now we don't get that this year, so everybody's kind of scrambling, and there's a lot of stuff being thrown out there, let's say that.
All right, just how big of a deal is it to not have the combine if you're the Denver Broncos?
If you're the Denver Broncos, it's big because you have the medical checks. I'm going to go back to that. You know, the interviews, it's only 15 minutes. You can get fooled by it. Hopefully George Payton is not one of those guys that gets fooled by some of these players. You know, the drills, whatever, it's underwear Olympics. It should count as 0.5% of your grade. Not even 1% of your grade should come down to the scouting combine. But it's also great to see how these guys have prepared for this huge job interview that is a grind for them. Sun up to sun down, they're doing a lot during the day. But to me, it's the medical checks, you know, that are incredibly important that you're missing out on. You know, you'll be able to check guys out somehow, some way. We'll see. But if you're, let's say, looking at Caleb Farley, right? We talked about him. He's got a back injury that's problematic. And I've often said this about, you know, Michael Porter Jr. It's like, you ever hear anyone getting over their back injury? You know what I mean? Like, so it's something you've got to know. That's why the combine started, was those medical checks. So losing out on that, hands-on medical checks, it's going to be interesting.
All right. Hey, Cecil, man.
Great information.
Yeah, always appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, there he is, Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Hear him at nights with our very own Nick Ferguson. They do a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up. So the Houston Texans have been receiving calls that apparently they're not returning, they're not answering.
Yes.
So teams are resorting to leaving voice messages expressing their interest in Deshaun Watson. We have been able to hack into the Texans' voicemail.
It's unbelievable, the technology we possess at this station.
And you will hear some of those messages coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.